Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Sportsmonger Show. I'm your host, Brian Steph, and my partner in crime, Jason Avelka, bringing us in with the old school Pittsburgh Penguins theme music. Used to be on all the broadcasts. Right in the middle of the Eastern Conference Finals in the Stanley Cup. Penguins with a big win last night. Looking the part of the best team in the East with a 4-2 win over the Tampa Bay Lightning in Game 3 down in Tampa to regain home ice advantage, take a 2-1 lead in the series. As we speak, San Jose and St. Louis on the Western Conference side are in the second period. And at last look, it was 1-0 San Jose. And that series is a game apiece. Lots to talk about tonight. First of all, before we get into the work, we got to pay the bills. Thanks to our friends at MyrtleBeachGolf.net, our presenting sponsor, as always, home of the Myrtle Beach Golf Giveaway. Stay 4 nights at Seaside Inn Resort and play 4 rounds at Barefoot's Fantastic Four, the Love Course, Norman Fazio, and private club, the Die Club, here in the golf capital world, Myrtle Beach. Click on the link at the top of our page at dystnow.com, sportsmongergolf.com, and click on the sign up to win. Put in your email address, get a chance to win that fantastic vacation. And if you can't win it, you ought to give Scott and the guys a call or ask for a quote on their website, myrtlebeachgolf.net. They've got some fantastic deals. Also want to give some love to our friends. You can tell Jason and I are golfers. Razor Golf, the official golf club of Sportsmonger Marketing and Media, the DYST Now, and the Sportsmonger Show. Play the Edge, Razor Golf. I'm going to see our good buddy Mike, I believe, next week when I head out to the ING conference in Utah. So bring on my buddy Jason. How you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm splendid and wonderful. How about yourself?
Splendid and wonderful, living here in self-centered Americaville, as we talked about before we came on the air, which we'll fill everybody in on the joke a little bit later in the show. So let's just jump right into it. The Penguins, our beloved Penguins, right here in the Stanley Cup playoffs, looked really, really good last night, Jay.
It's the best they looked all season, and that is probably the most dominant performance as I've seen in the playoffs thus far this year, in my opinion. There was a spot, and I stopped keeping track, but there was a spot during the second period where the Pens literally had Tampa hemmed in their own end for almost 7.5 minutes. That's unprecedented and, you know, just scary. With all of that said, at one point it was only 1-0.
Yeah.
The game, you know, the Tampa goalie, Valesky, I think his name, I have no idea
how to pronounce his last name the right way.
I can't remember his last name, or I can't remember. I can't remember. Anyways, he kept him in the game. But you could just tell that in the third period, if they scored early enough, that his game was going to fall apart. You could just tell because he had seen enough shots and he was done. He was checking out. The party was over. And that's really what you got in that game.
Well, they were peppering him. I mean, the shot difference. 48-28.
Yeah.
Shot differential. Now, Tampa Bay is a defense-first team. They do have pretty strong defensive team down there in Tampa, and that's how they got to where they are. That and their team speed is pretty fast. But But let me tell
you, they're an opportunistic offense. They've actually, offensively, they're talented. They're just minus Stamkos. And they got to where they are because the triplets or whatever you want to call them, they're really good.
Yeah, but they're not as good as the HBK line.
It is our triplets, that's right.
It's the Pens.
Well, the difference is, though, the Pens actually have, you know, a number one line with Sid, which technically isn't even a number one line with who's on it. I mean, it's Hornquist and Sid, and that's great. And then they just throw in whoever can fill in that third void. But when you consider that the leading scorers as far as lines go in the NHL playoffs is the Pens' third line, they technically have three number one lines, which is why that Kessel line's so good.
Well, first of all, Kessel is not a third line player.
Oh, goodness, no.
The problem, part of the problem the Penguins were having early in the year, they didn't have the right combination of players. They couldn't find – Kessel and Crosby looked about as comfortable together as, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ray Lewis and Ben Roethlisberger.
I know.
They just didn't even look like they should be wearing the same uniform. Like,
it just
what should work, two superstars, two tremendous offensive talents, just didn't work.
No.
So then, you know, but once they started shuffling, when you find a line that works, that's great. And you know, calling a team, you know, I look at this when you get to, you know, hockey, it's almost like a basketball game or, you know, whatever, you know, is the starting lineup, you know, the number one line, is that important? No, it's whoever's playing good when it counts. You know, to call it the third line, you have to call it the third line because on paper you have to put lines down in order. But it doesn't matter what line the Pens run out there. And by the way, the only two consistent lines, like meaning it's always the same three players out there all the time, are the third and fourth lines.
Yes.
Have you noticed? I mean, in this, especially in this series, the only consistent lines where it's the same three guys are the third and fourth lines. The top two lines, they're shuffling around because the top two lines aren't doing any of the scoring.
Well, they're not doing the scoring, but that's because they don't have guys finishing. People were clamoring and going crazy because Crosby hadn't, you know, scored a goal in like eight games until the game winner the other night. And then last night he scored one technically when he shouldn't even have been out on the ice. He should have been in the sin bin. But anyways, that's a conversation for later. Mostly, and that line's not going to score that much because Sid's the only guy setting people up. Hornquist is a finisher, and whoever else you put on that line, he's either going to help Sid set up, or help set up Sid, or Sid's not going to get any shots, or he's just going to continue doing what he's doing, scoring on a power play, or getting a rare goal. That's just the way it is.
Yeah,
Hornquist is your finisher on that line.
Well, and Hornquist is how do I want to put it? He's the blue collar guy on that line.
Oh, he loves being. He
goes down low. He likes to play in front of the net. He likes to get in front of the goalie and do the dirty work. I mean, that's his role. He's there to win. To when Sid takes a shot or sets up, you know, drops a pass back to one of the blue liners and they take a slapper to, you know, deflect and get his goal or get the rebound and score. I mean, that's his game. And, you know, you need guys like that to win a Stanley Cup.
Yep.
I mean,
I totally agree.
With that said, though,
the reason you don't have Evgeny Malkin scoring right now is because he doesn't have a guy like that on his line.
He doesn't have a guy that can set him up. He doesn't have a guy that can finish. He is.
And and like we said before, he's not at 100%.
No.
I still don't think he is.
I don't think he is either. I think he's close, but I don't think he's truly at 100% or close to. I mean, I think he's as close as you can be at this point in time in the year. With
right.
that said, that line that he's on is, you know, I mean, you got Matt Cullen on it, fine. But you don't have – those aren't guys that Evgeny Malkin plays with. They're just not.
Nah.
They're just not.
As we're picking it apart, they're they're the best team of the four left the way they're playing.
They're talented. Yes, they're really good. Maybe 1A. I don't think there may be a close second, a really close second.
St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. They're losing now 2-0.
2-0, yeah. Well, San Jose, how about this? San Jose had the worst home record of the teams that qualified for the Stanley Cup playoffs. And and since they lost the first game, their first home game to the Kings, and they're 5-0 since.
Yeah.
Talk about a turnaround.
Absolutely.
Let's.
Here's some quick injury news, though. It's important. I think we should sneak it in.
Yeah.
Stamkos and Bishop. Likely out in game four for the Pens or for the Lightning. And Hornquist, what's his name? Mike Sullivan says he is likely to play. Even with
that.
Yeah,
I tell you what, he took a nasty slapper in the hand.
Yep.
Yeah. When he dropped the stick, I thought it was because the stick broke.
Yeah.
At first.
Yeah.
But. No, he. I mean, he took that slapper in the hand, and he dropped the stick immediately and skated to the bench.
Oh yes, and that wasn't the mean part of the hand.
No, when they showed that replay, I'm like, oh boy, that's a broken hand.
That's exactly.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm not gonna lie to you. I was like, oh, that's a broken hand, but turns out it's not. So.
Well, it probably is. They're just gonna tape it to where he can hold a stick.
They're just not gonna tell us. Because it's the playoff, it's the NHL playoffs. You don't have to, divulge injuries in the NHL playoffs.
Correct.
Yeah.
And one final Penguin note. GM Rutherford, Jim Rutherford stated today. He was asked the question about Fleury and Murray. Interesting. They both rhyme. He was asked the question, does Fleury have any, you know, are there any worries for next year? Does what's going on now have any bearing on next year? And he says, absolutely not. Lying straight through his teeth.
Of course he's. What the hell else is he going to say? You can't say anything that will cause any kind of distraction in the middle of a Stanley Cup run.
Right. Right.
What the hell is he supposed to play? You and I both know, and anybody that's got any sense in their head,
I wouldn't go that far.
Understand that Marc-Andre Fleury is sitting on the bench, watching Matt Murray take his place.
Yes, I honestly believe that we have seen. I mean, as long as Matt Murray doesn't completely falter. We have seen the final games as Fleury in a Penguins uniform.
I totally agree. And part of it is because not only has Murray obviously proven that he's, you know, NHL ready, Zatkoff didn't look shabby either.
Well,
and he can just slide in as a backup. Listen. He's good enough to be your NHL backup. And with Fleury's salary and his pedigree, there's a lot that the Penguins could get. Rutherford could dangle that out there, trade bait in the offseason, and get some good pieces back.
Absolutely.
Let's switch over to the other playoffs that are going on right now. In the NBA... currently, the Cavs, I think, are running away from the Raptors in the Eastern Conference.
Up 20 with 7 minutes left. Yes,
yeah,
I'd say so.
Yeah, I think they're running away with that one, no problem. And surprisingly, Golden State knocked off, got beat by Oklahoma City in the first game.
And then
last night, it was like it pissed Golden State. Yeah, it's like it pissed Steph Curry and the guys off. Because it almost looked to me like what happens when little brother beats big brother.
Yep.
And then big brother gets pissed off next time they play, beats crap out of him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, you know, and he's draining threes with three elbows. After he had taken the spill or whatever and had that gigantic lump on his arm. I mean, the dude looked like he had three elbows or three shoulders or whatever. Yeah. I mean, it was just, it was ugly, but it didn't bother him.
Can I tell you, when the Penguins game two was over, I switched over and I watched the middle of the third quarter and the end of the fourth quarter of game one. And Golden State was up anywhere from 8 to 14 points pretty much the whole time I was watching. It's back getting ready to go to bed. Thought about turning the game off. And I'm like, there's, 7 minutes left. What the heck? So I went in the bathroom and I went in the kitchen, got a drink, did something else for 2 or 3 minutes. Came back, and Oklahoma City was winning by 4. And I was like, what in the world happened? And it looked like the entire fourth quarter that Golden State was playing a Tuesday night game in February, not game one of the Western Conference Final. Yeah. It looked like they could kick. I mean, they were turning the ball over and then smiling and laughing on the way back down the court. It did not look like they were in game one of the Western Conference Finals. And they certainly didn't look like – well, actually, they did look like a team that won 73 games. Because they had the attitude like, no big deal. We'll find a way to win. You know, we always do. And if we lose, no big deal. We'll win 4 of the next 6. No sweat. It was amazing. And then, again, like I said, they turned around last night and just – you know, gave the little red ass treatment to the Thunder, said, the other night was a fluke. Sorry about your luck. Here's the real team. You know, and the Cavs are just going to blow through Toronto, win 4 straight, and sit around and wait to see who's left standing between the Warriors and the Thunder. And as great as the Warriors season has been, as good as the Cavs are playing.
Yeah.
That's going to be a heck of a series, and I think I would probably have, if you were going to put a gun to my head and make me make a bet, I think I'd bet on LeBron and the Cavs.
I would, because I think, I mean, he knows how good Steph Curry is, and we all know how good Steph Curry is, but the fact is, this little run Steph's had the last year and a half, or whatever, however long it's been, 2 years, you don't think LeBron James is burning a little bit?
Oh, it's personal now. He personally made the finals last year, last 6 games.
Yep.
And he's got and Kyrie Irving is playing fantastic in the playoffs.
Finally.
Yes.
And Love
is finally looking like the guy they thought they were getting when they made the trade of their first pick. To bring him in instead of keeping Andrew Wiggins.
Right.
Which seemed like an idiot move the way Love played last year. But, I mean, he's kind of like the linchpin in that and all that.
Yeah.
And LeBron's not overly exerting himself. It's like he's coasting because he knows he's going to have to put the pedal down when he gets to the finals.
Right.
It's almost like he's like, go ahead, fellas. Don't worry about it. Get me there, and I'll take you home.
That's right.
So it's going to be, neither of us are big NBA guys, but that's shaping up. I want to see a rematch. I want to see Curry and Kyrie Irving. I want to see Love and Iguodala and LeBron and, Klay Thompson. I want to see that matchup. Because it's going to be a doozy. It's going to be a 6 or 7 gamer, I think. So, Yeah, that's what I think anyway. But obviously the fun series to watch is the Warriors and Thunder. You know, we all knew that going in anyway. We're going to transition. First of all, I got to brag a little bit. I said this before we came on the air. I got to say it on the air because it may be the last time I get to say it all season. But my Phillies, my lowly Phillies, have a better record than your Pittsburgh Pirates right now.
Three words. And you know what those
are? It's only May.
No. Well, those are good three words, but I got a better three words.
I know, but don't say it on the air. This is a family show.
Smoke and mirrors.
That's not even anywhere near what I thought you were going to say.
It's smoke and mirrors, my
friend.
Hey,
listen, what it is
a bunch of young guys that are out there playing their butts off, playing
absolutely
really well right now. They're playing really well. The fact is, though, at some point, they're going to get to the meat of their schedule, and they're going to be playing. They're going to be playing the Nationals and the Mets in a stretch every night for 6, 7, 8, 9 games in a row. And I'm telling you,
yeah,
when that stretch hits, the world's going to come crashing down on that team. But until that time comes,
they're
going
to
hang around.
A lot of times, you know yourself, before the Pirates, the last 2 or 3 years of the Pirates' run of 20 straight years of not being in the playoffs, when their guys that actually finally got them to the playoffs were young,
mm-hmm,
they were great in April, May, even the beginning of June.
They were good all the way through July, and then it petered out after
that. Then they run out of gas.
Right.
They run out of gas. And
you have one saving grace. You have one saving grace in that division. You have one.
Atlanta Braves. We won't finish last.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I don't know how many games you got left against them, but I'm telling you. If Julio Teheran's a good pitcher. He's their best pitcher. And if he's on that night, you're going to struggle. Outside of that, me, you, and the three guys down the street from me that I don't even know could drive in runs. Atlanta's just that bad.
Yeah, let me tell you. And by the way, how idiotic is it to fire your manager after the first night of a road trip? They lose to Pittsburgh the other night on the first night of the road trip, and then they fire him the next morning. Why in the world would you not fire him before they even left town? I mean, you didn't decide after they got beat by the Pirates, oh, that's it, I've had enough, we're firing them.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, you were thinking about it anyway. Why the hell wouldn't you just do it at the end of the homestand and just say,
John Hart. John Hart, that's the gem, correct? I think I'm right.
No, I don't.
Yeah, I think that's
totally honest with you. I don't even know. I'm going to look that up, though. So go ahead.
I think it's John Hart. What I'm about to say is going to hinge on that being him, so I might as well, out of the hell with it, I'll just say it, just so I'm sure. But, I mean, John Hart is, how can I put it? He is, his idea, his thought here, and what he's trying to put together doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, he's trying to rebuild a team. He tore it down, and he's trying to rebuild it, okay? He's starting from scratch, from absolute scratch. He got rid of all their decent talent, brought in the guys, hoping and praying that that would do it. And trying to rebuild the minor, trying to rebuild everything. He tried to do it like a small market team with that. And
no, it's not John Hart. It's John Coppola.
Okay. All right. So I knew it was John something. Anyways, so he's trying to do this as a small market. I mean, he's treating this team as a small market team. He really is. There's money down there, but he's treating it that way.
Well, part of what they're doing is rebuilding their minor league system a bit with these trades. They're stockpiling the minors. Because what is it, next year or the year after, they're going to have that brand new stadium.
Next year.
next year.
And they're going to spend money on free agents to get people excited to come to the ballpark.
I don't think they're going to spend hardly any money on free agents.
They're not going to spend New York Yankees money or Boston Red Sox money.
Oh,
but they're
no.
going to spend. But they're going to sign. They're going to sign a couple of two, three. You know, not $200 million guys, but they're going to sign a few guys. To get some buzz going into the new ballpark. And,
right.
You know, the only good thing I can say about this season is in my time here in Myrtle Beach, for the longest time, the minor league team here, the Pelicans, was the single-A affiliate for the Braves. And for a handful of years, Brian Snitker, who is now the interim manager, was the manager here in Myrtle Beach. And I've met the man, spoken to him several times. He's a nice person. And he's kind of like one of those minor league lifers. He's been with the Braves organization a long, long time, paying his dues, coaching in the minors. He was a third base coach for a couple years in Atlanta. And now he's finally got the call from AAA to be the interim manager. And good for him. And, you know, I hope he makes it stick. I really do. That being said, as much as I don't like the Braves, I love it that they're 10-30.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about that. No doubt about that.
So,
hey,
yeah,
real
no,
fast,
I just wanted to rub that. I just wanted to rub that in a little bit because, you know, like I said, in another 2 weeks, I probably won't be able to say that my Phillies are got a better record than your Pirates. So,
no. That's a good one. Real fast, staying on baseball.
Yeah.
Real fast.
Yeah.
And this is totally off subject. I was in the process. I was just doing a little, you know, clicking around the web or whatever about baseball. And, of course, I was trying to find something, and I ended up clicking the wrong thing. And I clicked on career major league batting leaders, okay? And it's in,
okay.
And it's in the form of hits. So the all-time hit leaders. Obviously, you know who number one is. Can you name the top five in hits?
Active?
No. All time.
All time. All right.
All time.
All time hits leaders.
Yep.
So you got Pete Rose.
Yep.
Ty Cobb.
Yep.
Hideki Matsuyama. Or not Hideki. Ichiro.
Nope.
Well, if you count all of his professional baseball.
Nope. They're
only counting Major League? Okay.
Correct.
Tony Gwynn.
Nope.
Let's see.
He is 18th.
Willie Mays.
Willie Mays Hayes is 11th.
Willie Mays Hayes. Let's see. Over 3,000 hits. That club's kind of. Hank Aaron.
Yeah, he's third. Good one.
Yeah.
And I would have never guessed he was third. I'd have never guessed in a million years he was third.
A lot
third.
Of people, you know, when they talk about best players of all time.
They talk about him in a home run sense. They don't
they never
talk
about Hank Aaron except for home runs.
Right.
He's got the third all-time hits.
Dude, he had 3,771 hits.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
not a small amount.
No, it's not.
He played 300 less games than Pete Rose. Two seasons.
He's got 400 hits less.
Two seasons, yep.
About 400 hits, right? 500, okay.
So technically, plays another couple of seasons or another couple
he
still hundred games.
He still would have been short of Rose. Because you're going to get 100, 190 to 200 hits in a season.
Right.
So.
Anyway, so Stan Musial's 4. And, you know, Derek Jeter's 6, and I skipped 5 for a reason. 7's Honus Wagner, 8's Carl Yastrzemski, 9's Paul Molitor, and 10 is Eddie Collins. First off, have you ever heard of Eddie Collins?
that's probably from like the 1900s.
Oh, of course. Well, the reason I brought this whole goofiness.
So why
thing
did
up,
you skip number five?
Okay. By the way, Eddie Collins was in 1887, and he was inducted in 1939.
1887.
So,
holy crap!
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So. I put it up, and I looked. It only showed the top five in each category. Number five played 22 years for the Boston. Yeah, Boston and Cleveland, and Boston and Cleveland. He went back and forth. Anyways, his name was Chris Speaker. Okay, so you've heard of this cat.
Yes.
Okay, well, you're better than me. I'll give you credit. Career batting average, .345, which doesn't suck. He had nearly as many walks as he did have RBIs, which also doesn't suck. And 3,514 hits. 2,700 games. So he played 800 less games than Pete Rose.
So that.
And finished with 700 less hits. Do the math. Pete Rose averaged more than a hit a game, so did this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, if he'd have played longer. If he could have kept that pace up. If he keeps the pace up for as long as he played, yeah.
Well, you know, you cork a bat just like Pete did his last
sure.
2 or 3 years. You can do that,
you know,
too.
Back when Chris Speaker was playing, you know, they were pine tar and everything. Pitchers throwing spitballs, you know, stuff like that.
I didn't mean to go down that path, but when I saw Chris
cool,
Speaker,
though.
I've never heard of Chris Speaker. And,
you really
have? You know,
yeah, I have.
I have not heard of him. Eddie Collins, I had heard of him before I had heard of Chris Speaker. You know, and if you go through these goofy lists, You Nap LaJoy, you've heard of him, haven't you?
Oh yeah, he was. You know, he played for what's his face?
Yeah, that's right. That's how I felt about Tris Speaker.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So
let's transition.
That's awesome. That's a good list. That's the kind of thing I want to eat beer in a bar.
That's right. That's right.
Absolutely. So I want to transition over and touch on this. Because I want to get your opinion. It's a pretty big story. Less because of just as much sports as it is outside of sports. Muirfield in Scotland, where the is home of the oldest. Golf club in the world, fabled for that's where the original rules of golf were written.
Mm-hmm.
It's been the Honorable Company of Edinburgh Golfers was founded in 1744 and is the oldest recorded golf club in the world, and it also set down the first known rules of golf. Those gentlemen their membership voted to continue to be an all-male members club, all-male membership, which, in and amongst itself, is no big deal. They don't want to let ladies be members. Ladies can play there.
Right.
Ladies can go in a clubhouse. Ladies can be fans at sporting events there. They just can't be members. Now, if you want to, you know, whatever, if you're an activist or, that's unfair. God, this is 2016. I can't believe they don't allow women. Whatever you want to say, that's not the point. It is kind of the point, but it's not. My opinion, when it comes to that stuff, private clubs, they're private for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
They can make whatever rules they want. If they want to vote a rule in that says that in order to walk into our club and play golf here, you have to wear pink shorts and a green shirt, then if you want to play there, you have to wear pink shorts and a green shirt. It's their club. They can make the rules. Whatever. What I find is shockingly that they still voted that way. The RNA immediately came out which is the governing body of golf in Europe. It's the equivalent to the USGA, for those of you that aren't aware of what the RNA is. They immediately pulled Muirfield Golf Club from the Rota for the Open Championship.
Yep.
Which is the rotation. They are not eligible to host the Open Championship anymore. Now, the quote from Henry Fairweather, who is the captain of the Honorable Company of Edinburgh Golfers, said there were 616 votes tallied, 397 voted to allow females, while 219 voted no. And since that doesn't make any sense until you look at the stats, it didn't reach the two-thirds majority.
Right.
By 2%. So, your thoughts, Mr. Havelka?
Well, good job for them coming right out and you know, completely taking them out of the mix.
Oh, yeah. Kudos to the RNA for being swift in that.
If you're not going to play fair, then don't let them play at all. With that said, you and I have had this conversation off and on for a very long time. Let them have their rules. If they don't want to admit women, they don't have to admit women. It's you can have a club with whatever you want in it or whomever you want in it. But don't expect to be part of something as grand as the Open Championship tradition. I don't care how much history you have. You want to have crazy rules, you want to live by that, go right ahead. You're allowed. It's America. You're allowed. It's not America. But it's a free country. They're allowed to do what they want.
Right.
That said, you got to pay your consequences.
Well,
and
you want to talk about history.
Yeah.
You talk about history. Yep. 16 times the Open Championship has been played at Muirfield in Glen, Scotland. The first one, 1892.
Yep.
The last one was in 2013 when Mickelson finally won it.
Right. And isn't Muirfield, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm no golf historian, but I am a lover of the game and some of the history. Tom Watson, isn't that the place that he loves more than anything? There is a specific place that he plays that he absolutely loves, or am I wrong on that?
No, Nicholas is the one that likes Muirfield.
Okay, but it was.
Watson is. Well, everybody likes St. Andrews, but Watson. No, Muirfield. It might be Muirfield. You might be right about Watson. It's one of the courses in Scotland.
He has shot well there every time he's played it.
Well, the guy's won five Open Championships. I mean, or British Opens, as you call them, and that's where the joke lies in. When I texted you earlier and I said the Open Championship, you mean Jack's Place? And I'm like, no, that's Muirfield Village. He named it after Muirfield. only us narrow-minded Americans call the Open Championship British Open.
Self-centered
Americans. To which you replied, dude, that's okay, because I live in self-centered land, Americaville.
The self-centered Americanville.
Self-centered Americanville.
and it's not to be ignorant. Let me explain. Seconds. It's not to be ignorant. It was more or less, we've been having the conversation about the U.S. Open because we're covering it.
Right.
And my first thought when you talked about Muirfield, because the Memorial Tournament's coming up, I had Jack in the Open together. I had not gone online to notice that Muirfield had had such a gigantic blunder as they did. So
well, here's a quick quote from the chairman. A majority of the members voted for women as members of the club, but the two-thirds majority that we require for a change in the rules was not met. The club will retain its men-only membership policy. The Honorable Company is a members club, and the members decide the rules, including its membership. Women will continue to welcome at Muirfield on the course and the clubhouse as guests and visitors as they have for many years, and we have some ladies playing here today, he actually said. The RNA has considered today's decision with respect to the Open Championship. The Open is one of the world's greatest sporting events, and going forward, we will not change the championship. We will not stage the championship at a venue that does not admit women's golfers. That's a statement from RNA Chief Executive Martin Slumbers. Now, here's what's interesting. Just 2 years ago, Royal and Ancient Golf Club of St. Andrews and Royal St. George's, both courses that host the Open Championship, voted that within the last 2 years allow female members. This year, the Open is being played at Royal Troon Golf Club. Royal Troon currently is an all-male club. Now, here's the interesting thing. It says, and this, I'm getting this information, this article is in golfchannel.com, a great article. The thing about Royal Troon, it's expected to announce at some point this year that it will also vote to allow female members in. That's interesting, and this, and we'll talk about this more obviously when the Open Championship comes along. This topic will come up again, but because it was a story today, I wanted to bring it up. And when we have more time, I'm actually going to write a blog, my opinion about this. I'm going to write a story, so you can check it out on both sportsmongergolf.com and dystnow.com. I'll tweet it out on Twitter at golfmonger. There's two things that will make Muirfield change their mind sooner than later, and re-vote and allow female members. And I'll expand on that because it's more than what we've got time left here. We've got about 2 minutes, so let's recap the show a bit here. I'm going to circle back around to the beginning. We'll start from there. All right. Obviously, we're both Penguins fans. We think this is going to go. You originally said last week that the series was going to go how many games? Seven?
Yes.
I said five. And I said five. So the Pens got to win two more.
Yeah.
Two in a row. They got to win two in a row. They've just won two in a row. They got to win two more. Let me put it this way, Jay. If they win again tomorrow in Tampa, I'm going to be right because they'll go back to Pittsburgh in game five and win.
I totally agree with that.
That being said, I'm not 100% confident that they win tomorrow night. So I think we're going to end up, to be honest with you, I think we're going to end up splitting the difference. I think it'll be over in six. But I got to stick with my guns, and I said five,
right.
So I'll stick with it. The other series, the way it's shaken out, I still like St. Louis. Although San Jose's got the lead, and it looks like if they hold on, they're going to win tonight, go up 2-1. But
right.
St. Louis, to me, is just a better team. What do you think?
I think St. Louis is a better team. But, you know, San Jose's fast, so you just don't – I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think St. Louis is going to win, and I think it's going to be a Pittsburgh-St. Louis deal. Or finals, and that's the way I see it.
Yeah, it's 3-0 Sharks now in the third. Unless the Blues pull a Wheeling Nailers.
That's right.
Scored three goals the last 3 minutes. Speaking of our beloved hometown, Wheeling Nailers are up 2-1 in their series in the Kelly Cup.
Yes, they are.
In the semifinals over the South Carolina Stingrays. So good luck to the boys. All right, we got a minute left, Jay. Let's wrap this bad boy up. As always, the show, once again, thanks to our sponsors, MyrtleBeachGolf.net, Razor Golf, and also our the official apparel company of Sportsmonger Show, Proforma. Click on the link on the DYST Now Sports and Sportsmonger Golf page to check out their specials and stuff. If you want to advertise your company on little tchotchke stuff, swag, shirts, hats, cups, mugs, that kind of stuff, they're the guys to take care of you. Tell them Jason sent you and they'll give you a deal. So thanks again for listening. We'll be back next Thursday. Follow us all weekend on Twitter. I'm at Golfmonger. Jason's at Pit Sportsmonger and Pit Sportmonger, excuse me. And then, of course, at DYST now and at Sportsmonger for all the news and notes from the playoffs and golf this weekend. For Jason, I'm Brian. It's been another fun night. Thanks for tuning in, and we will catch you next time.